Let us not become desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends, the great story of mankind couldn't start better than with a violent fight and a fratricide. Why? Because jealousy and envy mixed with profound anger and hatred darkened Cain's heart. The words themselves, envy or jealousy, awakens in each and every one of us memories and sentiments of discomfort, a touch of resentment, a feeling of guilt, which is the unfortunate inheritance of that dramatic disgrace of our first parents. Envy, as we know, is listed among the seven deadly sins, or capital sins, which merited us a capital punishment and death. But Christ, in his loving mercy, paid our debt. Although the sting of concupiscence remains in us as the root of the seven deadly sins. Tendencies, rather than a formal sin, they are called capital because they lead to sin and remain the source or fountainhead of all sins. Preaching on such a reality remains, of course, a difficult task, as it is for the preacher, as for the one listening, a hot, a delicate topic that could discourage the soul in its quest for perfection. And this is why the doctor of the love of God, St. Francis de Sales, warns pastors of souls in these terms. Whoever has the charge of others ought not hesitate to resist and correct the vices of those who depend on him, or even to oppose their sentiments when need requires it. Always, however, with mildness and peace. And remember that St. Francis de Sales is also the patron saint of Catholic communication, especially when he has to enunciate any truth difficult to receive. Such truth must first be heated by a burning fire of charity, which will take away all their sharpness. Otherwise, they will be sour fruit, better calculated to cause disease than to give nourishment. So help me God. And it is with these sentiments of love for the flock entrusted to my care, and because of the account I must render, that I decided to remind these painful truths, simply following the readings of the day, both in a spirit of fraternal correction, which I certainly applied to myself as well and first, and in view of the common good of the community. But first, let's recall an important distinction. Envy first. Envy is a tendency to be saddened by another's good, as if that good constituted an affront to our own superiority. Whereas jealousy now differs from envy in that it consists in an excessive love of our own good, accompanied by the fear lest we be deprived of it by others. And so when some good is being done, when many souls are received in the house of God through the many sacraments given here at the shrine, it is not surprising that a more subtle form of evil tries by all means to infiltrate and gangrene the good at work. Sentiments of superiority and excellence, legitimately or illegitimately, easily grow in the mind and little by little one forgets the good one has received, not because of his or her own merit, but out of pure goodness from God. And so what initially was good slowly turns into a poisonous smoke that destroys the good odor of the work of divine providence and grace. Envy, then, infiltrates the heart of our good actions and good intentions. We become saddened or more irritable at the sight of any good that our neighbor might do, even for the sole glory of God and the salvation of souls. We interpret their actions as a direct attack against our own comfort and superiority. We begin to feel a wave of nausea in the stormy waters of pride and selfishness. How many good actions, how many good intentions or initiatives lose their power of sanctification due to our lack of humility or our lack of charity towards our neighbor, our proximate neighbor, whether in our own family, among spouses and friends, or in the larger family of our shrine community. And if, for God's sake, we have been able to rebuke the attack of that evil, envious tendency in us, we still have to remain vigilant so as to not let jealousy invade the spiritual edifice of our soul. This excessive love of our own good or success, which cannot suffer that anybody else be granted the same good or success. And if offended in our pride, one cannot resist the temptation to share that shameful disappointment under cover of good intentions, simply to secure what is left in us of anger and hatred. The great Saint Cyprian had these sharp and incisive words: "The wounds of jealousy are concealed and hidden, nor do they admit the remedy of a healing cure, which have concealed themselves with blind pain within the lurking places of the conscience." And so whoever of you, continues the saint, are envious and malignant, you are seen as you are, crafty, pernicious, and hostile to those whom you hate. You are the enemy of no one's well-being more than of your own. Whoever he is whom you persecute with jealousy will be able to escape and avoid you, but you cannot escape yourself. End of quote. And so the normal consequences then of such a perverse mechanism are slander, gossip, detraction, and so on. Saint Thérèse of the Child Jesus, who had much to suffer from because of the lack of understanding of her religious sisters, once wrote, "If, when I desire to increase in my heart love of my neighbor, the demon tries to set before my eyes the faults of one or the other of my sisters, I hasten to call to mind her virtues, her good desires, and I say to myself that if I have seen her fall once, she may well have won many victories, which she conceals through humility, and that even what appears to me a fault may in truth be an act of virtue by reason of the intention underlying this action." So instead of looking at everything with the lens of our own sinful ways and prideful attachments to self. Let's once in a while borrow our neighbor's glasses. Let us see ourselves as they see us. And then we might not believe what we see. How many times do we find ourselves humbled, at least, or humiliated after making a rash judgment, after talking too quickly and not to the right person, without considering all the elements, or without knowing all the aspects of decisions taken by our peers or our superiors, having received half-truth, or for not having done our due diligence prior to falling into the sin of rash judgment, anger, envy, and jealousy. It is then crucial to carefully examine our conscience in order to unroot any impure intentions, impure in the sense of these false judgments that cover the ugliness of our sinful intentions with a somewhat delicate or well-thought plan, which would make it appear right at first, but when scratching the surface, resurfaces this pestilent wound of pride, jealousy, and envy. There are some who, before actually slandering someone, says St. Francis, will say something good about that person. And he says, these are the most subtle and venomous of slanderers. Tough words. In order to continue the work of divine providence in our beautiful shrine, let us banish all kind of petty talk and jealousies. Let us continue to uproot what could be a cause of scandal or a source of division. And remember the etymology of the word scandal, scandalon in Greek, which means a little stone which makes you fall on the ground. So not necessarily a big thing, but certainly an opportunity for others to also fall into sin. Scandalon. Let us not be afraid to talk things over with honesty and simplicity, with calm and sincere charity, and also to the right person and right proper authorities. Brethren, if we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Let us not become desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. My dear friends, dear couples, it is interesting to notice that just within married couples, more than 70% of marriage troubles, 70, result from the failure of married couples to talk things over with each other without quarreling, without arguing, without fighting, without holding on these petty jealousies or divisions. And so the parallel with our shrine family can easily be drawn, I guess. So dear faithful, after exposing the problem in good Salesian spirituality, it is important and necessary to now propose a few remedies following the teaching of great spiritual masters. Brethren, continues St. Paul, even if a person is caught doing something wrong, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. So here are two simple ways to counterattack the malicious venom of envy and jealousy. First, make the best of it by crushing these sentiments as we would crush the head of a serpent, convincing oneself that our judgment might be unjust or incomplete, that these sentiments are certainly displeasing to God, who continues to be so merciful and so patient with us, that a passing movement of anger and impatience shouldn't be enough to destroy weeks, months, years of good efforts, that one certainly lacks the wisdom and intelligence to judge and to wait according to the whims of the present moment. The eternal decrees of God and His just distribution of His grace and His talents. It is also much salutary to crush these sentiments against the rock of Holy Scriptures by recalling to our attention edifying quotes or maxims, as done by many fathers of the deserts in the early centuries of the Church, such as, "By the envy of the devil, death came into the world. The wicked man plots against the just man and gnashes his teeth against him. But God will laugh at him. Be not jealous of him who walks well in his ways." Or, "What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you act, do you both, why do you glory as if you did not receive it?" After this first counterattack, it is very good to distract the mind and with calm and patience to convince ourselves that qualities of others do not lessen our own qualities, but should on the contrary be a stimulus to imitation. And if tempted to judge them because of their vices and faults, let us put as much energy and effort to also find their good qualities and virtues. This is certainly a good and Christian emulation, which gives that energy and strength to imitate and even to surpass the virtues of our neighbor with the help of God. Far from jealousy or envy, this is the type of emulation which should flourish among our communities and families. Crossing the boundaries of human respect, of cowardice, or of misunderstandings, in order to establish this vinculum caritatis, the bond of charity. Quarrels, factions, divisions, and jealousies, my dear friend, were also the daily bread of the early community of Corinth. Some saying, "I belong to Paul." Others saying, "I belong to Cephas." Others saying, "I belong to Christ." All certainly with a beginning of good intentions. But St. Paul rebukes them all. "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." And so may then the sacrament of Holy Communion, which we receive today and at every Mass, be the sign of a deeper reality which unites us all in Christ, communion. May our communions remind us of this bond of charity, vinculum caritatis, which source is taken from the pierced side of our Lord. May all jealousy, dissensions, petty talks, and anger be banned from our midst, so He might continue to conquer, to reign, and to command. Christus vincit, Christus regnat, Christus imperat. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.